It is good to have you here this morning. As I said, we're beginning this series called Jesus Is. And what we're going to be doing in this series is we're simply going to be taking a closer look at what the Bible says concerning Jesus. We're going to take a look at what the Bible says, who the Bible says that Jesus is. And I want to begin this morning by sharing four quotes, and these quotes are on your notes. And the reason why I want to share these quotes is because they're going to help us understand and discover why we need to know what the Bible says concerning who Jesus is, okay? So let me begin by sharing these quotes with you this morning. Our first quote that we're going to share in introduction is a quote from a young man named Stephen Furtick. He's from a church down in Charlotte, North Carolina, Elevation Church. He says this. He says, many people have a preconceived, limited view of who Jesus is. They have a preconceived, limited view of who Jesus is. As I thought about that this week, my thoughts kept coming back to this thought. If we have a limited view of Jesus, we're going to limit what he can do in our lives. Amen? Amen. By the way, we're going to play a game this morning. It's called, if you hear something you agree with, you either say yay or amen, okay? So let's give that a shot. Okay, so if we have a limited view of Jesus, we're going to limit what he can do in our lives. Amen? Okay. Christine Kane, how many people have heard of Christine Kane out of Hillsong Church in Australia? A powerful woman of God says this, Jesus is not at all like we thought, and so much more than you imagine. I love that. So much more than you imagine. Craig Crochelle, we've become a big Craig Crochelle fan in our men's ministry. We've listened to a few of his teachings, and I love what he says concerning this topic. He asks the question, who is Jesus to you? Who is Jesus to you? And then he concludes by saying this, finding the answer to this question will change your life forever. Amen. I think that is a powerful statement. When we discover who Jesus is, it's going to change our life today, tomorrow, next week. It's going to change our life forever. Then the last quote I will share this morning actually is the quote of who I consider my pastor, the guy I go to a lot and just for some guidance. His name is Chris Hodges, and he says this. He says, for so many of us, our concept of Jesus comes from where? Culture and tradition. So he's saying, for a lot of us, our concept of Jesus doesn't come from the Bible, but for many of us, our concept of Jesus comes from what culture says he is, or who culture says he is, or it comes from the traditions that we grew up with. And a lot of times we have this limited view of Jesus. So I want to plant the seed here this morning to show you that it's very, very important that we get into our scripture, we get into our word, and we discover for ourselves. Don't let tradition only tell you. Some tradition's great, but let's not limit it to tradition. Let's not limit it to culture. Let's break open God's Bible, his word that gives us direction and truth, and let's discover for ourselves who Jesus is, okay? So let me ask you this question. I want you to fill in the blank. At least you can write it down on your paper, or at least in your mind, I want you to fill in this blank, okay? Who is Jesus to you? Jesus is. Jesus is. Fill in the blank. I want you to be thinking, okay? Please think of something. You can write it down. At least have it in your mind. Jesus is. Jesus is. Who is Jesus to you? I hope we've all come up with some answers. Jesus is. When I hear of Jesus, this is what I think. This is what comes to my mind. Jesus is, okay? By the way, did anyone answer the question by saying this? Jesus is my friend. Did anybody go in that direction? Jesus is my friend. That's cool. By the way, that's what we're going to talk about week one. You can fill in the blank there. Jesus is our friend. Jesus is our friend. And to help us today, we're going to crack open the Bible, and we're going to look at Luke chapter 19. I want to encourage you, let's be a church where we're bringing our Bibles with us. I know we got it on our phone. That's cool. We got some kind of devices, but it's also nice to have the paper Bible. How many people still have a paper Bible? Aren't they great? All right. So anyway, what I want you to do today is I want you to open up to Luke chapter 19, and we're going to read verses 1 through 10. It may be a story you've heard quite a few times. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to have Nolan read the passage for us this morning, because I got this big problem that when I read the passage, I stop, start, stop, start, and we never make it through, okay? So before Nolan reads the passage to you, which will also be on the screen above me, I do want to say this, today's big idea, so you see that in your notes, what's our big idea today? By the way, what's that all about? Why am I coming up with a big idea? Here's the big idea. This is the thing that I want to make sure that sticks with you. So when you go out to eat after service today and you run into somebody at a restaurant or you talk to somebody on Tuesday morning and you say, man, we had a great church service. And the first question they ask you, they'll say, what did the pastor talk about? You'll be like, how many people have ever fallen into that trap before? You don't have a clue. So today what we're going to do, this is the big idea. This is the thing that we want to make sure that sticks to you like Velcro, that sticks more importantly to your heart. And that is this, the big idea is this, a friendship with Jesus changes everything. Can we all say that together? I would love to hear your voice as we say this. A friendship with Jesus changes everything. I want to let you know, thank you, Chad. A friendship with Jesus will change your values. A friendship with Jesus will change your priorities. A friendship with Jesus will change your relationships. I want to let you know, a friendship with Jesus is going to change everything. It's going to change how you look at the world. It's going to change how you look at annoying people. How many people have those in your life? I want to let you know, when you have a friendship with Jesus, it's going to touch every area of your life. There's not going to be one single area that's off limits. When you have a friendship with Jesus, it's just going to shake and rock your world. Is everybody with me this morning? And that's how serious we are about this. So if we would just follow along with Nolan this morning, the words will be on the screen. Nolan, if you could read off the screen, let's just listen to the word of God this morning.
Jesus entered Jericho and made his way through the town. There was a man there named Zacchaeus. He was the chief tax collector in the region. He became very rich. He tried to get a look at Jesus, but he was too short to see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree beside the road, for Jesus was going to pass that way. When Jesus came by, he looked up at Zacchaeus and called him by name. Zacchaeus, he said, quick, come down. I must be a guest in your home today. Jesus quickly climbed down and took Jesus to his house in great excitement and joy. But the people were displeased. He has gone to be the guest of a notorious sinner, they grumbled. Meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood before the Lord and said, I will give half my wealth to the poor, Lord, and and if I have cheated people of their taxes, I will give them four times as much. Jesus responded, salvation has come to this home today, for this man has shown himself to be a true son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save those who are lost.
Amen. Can we all read verse 10 together? Everybody together. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that was lost. Okay. Well, in our story today, we're just going to go through this quickly. There's two characters that are very apparent. There's Jesus Christ, and there's a man named Zacchaeus. And I believe that we've all heard of Jesus. I think we're in good company this morning. We've all heard of Jesus. If not, I just want to let you know we celebrate his birthday every year. It's Jesus Christmas, okay? And not only that, every Easter we celebrate this amazing thought that Jesus Christ was buried dead, but on the third day he did what? He rose again from the dead. That's the Jesus we're talking about this morning, okay? He is what the Bible says, he is God in the flesh. Theologians say it this way, Jesus Christ is 100% God, and yet at the same time he's 100% man. Go figure that out. Wow, it's crazy. Jesus, 100% man, 100% God. And here's the thing, one of the names that was given to Jesus is what? Emmanuel. Do you know what Emmanuel means? Emmanuel means what? Everybody together, God with us. So the cool thing is God stepped out of creation, stepped out of heaven, came to earth on Christmas in the form of a baby, and he came to dwell among people. Think about it. People were able to behold with their own eyes. They were able to see the God-man. They were able to see God in the flesh. I mean, what a moment in history. These people that were alive then were able to behold God. Jesus showed them what the Father looked like, okay? And then we run into the second character in the story, and his name is Zacchaeus. So who is Zacchaeus? Well, according to our text, there's two things that we learn concerning this man named Zacchaeus, other than the fact that we see that he was a short person in stature, okay? So he wouldn't have been a power forward type of guy, okay? He was short in stature. But there's two things that we discover about Zacchaeus according to these scriptures. First of all, we discover what his occupation was, what he did for a living. And we're told that he was a tax collector, okay? So what I want to do is I want to talk about that just for a minute here. And that is that these tax collectors, they were Jewish people. They were Jewish people, but they worked for the enemy. They worked for the hated Roman government, okay? Jewish people that were working for the enemy. They were working for the Roman government, which was ruling Israel at the time. And their job was to collect taxes from their own Jewish people, and they would hand those taxes over to the Roman government. And this is how they would make their money, okay? The government would say, okay, Zacchaeus, I want you to go to everybody in your tax district, and I want you to collect, we'll just say, $100 from every person. Well, the way that Zacchaeus made money is he would go out and say, you owe me $130. How many people know that's a good gig? And so what he would do is he would give that $100 to the Roman government, and then he would take all those $30 excess and he would keep that for himself. So the people of that day, his fellow Jewish countrymen, they did not like Zacchaeus. I hope we can say this in church because it's the truth. They hated Zacchaeus because he was a cheat. He was an embezzler. He was a thief. When the people saw Zacchaeus walking down the road, they would label him a big, bad sinner. I want you to get that. They would label him as a sinner that was so far from God that there's no hope for this guy. I mean, he even stole money from grandmas. He emptied people's 401ks. People didn't like this guy. I want you to get that picture. When you saw Zacchaeus, you wouldn't like Zacchaeus, okay? And that's kind of his life. People look at him, they hated him. The only people that really hung out with Zacchaeus were the people that wanted to get close so that maybe he would give them a little of their money. So his friends weren't real friends. His friends were just people that wanted a piece of the pie, okay? A piece of the resources. But generally speaking, other Jewish people, I want you to get this, they despised, they hated, they looked down. They said, yeah, this guy has no hope in the eyes of God. He is so full of sin. He's so far gone. He's actually a professional sinner, okay? So the second thing we see about Zacchaeus, it says not only was he rich, but this was a guy that was labeled in the scripture as very rich, very rich. And the reason why he was very rich is not only was he a tax collector, the Bible tells us that he was a chief tax collector, meaning that he probably oversaw an entire tax district. And what he had is he had his many cronies, his many collectors, who would, after ripping off people, would give him a part of their cut, okay? So he had money coming in from all angles. I mean, he just had anything he wanted, he could go out and buy. There was no limit. If he wanted it, he had the resources. I mean, and by the way, he got all this money by cheating people, okay? And as we pick up this story, we're told of a particular day in history where Jesus Christ is making himself, he's walking through the city of Jericho, the town where Zacchaeus was making his living. Here comes Jesus, okay? So just get this picture in your mind. The Message paraphrase says this, that Zacchaeus wanted desperately to see Jesus. He was desperate. He wanted to get a hold of Jesus. Well, why is that? Well, scholar says there's two reasons why he wanted to get a hold of Jesus or get to see Jesus. Number one, he was a Jew. And as a Jew, he would have grown up in a Jewish culture. So he would have been very, very familiar with the prophecies concerning Christ being the long-awaited promised Messiah. So Zacchaeus probably grew up going to Sunday school. He knew what the Old Testament prophets said. He knew that there was one that was going to be coming who would be the anointed one, the Messiah. And the words out in the streets in Jericho that this is the guy that the scriptures are prophesying. Jesus, this is the one that's the Messiah. This is the one that's the anointed one. So I'm sure Zacchaeus, like everybody else, hey, I want to see with my own eyes this amazing person. The second reason many scholars believe that he wanted to see Jesus is because, let's just call it the way it is, Jesus was the talk of the town. Jesus was the talk of the town. Everybody wanted to be by Jesus. Do we got that this morning? Say it together. Everyone wanted to see Jesus. I mean, Jesus, if he was on Facebook, he would have had millions of followers, okay? But he had followers. People wanted to get close to him. And I mean, this was the talk, the buzz of Jericho, this Jesus. They heard his teachings. They saw his signs, his wonders, his miracles. Zacchaeus is very curious, okay? And I just want to say this before we go deeper in the story. I don't think for a moment Zacchaeus realized what was ahead of him for that day. He didn't realize what was going to happen to him that day. All he wanted to do was to check out who this popular guy was. Who is this guy that's coming down the street? I want to find out. So the story continues to unwind, and we see Jesus is strolling through the streets of Jericho. The word's out. And the way I picture it is Jesus is walking down the streets. He's probably with his disciples. And I can just see that there's people 3, 4, 5 rows deep because everybody wanted to be by Jesus. He was the popular thing of the day. He was the popular one of the day, the God-man. So people are just, the roads are packed. And Zacchaeus, we don't know, maybe he was late to get to the party. So when he's finally hearing about Jesus, it says that he's small in stature. He can't see over the 3 or 4 people deep. By the way, that's one of the advantages of being tall, isn't it, tall people? You can see over the crowds. But this guy, he couldn't do that. So he was really bummed out. But here's the thing I like about Zacchaeus is he's a guy that always knew how to get what he wanted. He knew how to get what he wanted. So the story says this. He runs ahead. So in his mind, I can just think of those wheels turning in Zacchaeus' mind. Is, man, the only way I'm going to be able to see Jesus is I need to get ahead of where all the people are. I need to run ahead, and I need to climb a tree, and I need to make sure that when he comes by, that I'm able to see Jesus, okay? So here's the story. As Jesus is coming his way, Zacchaeus can't believe it. He can't believe his luck, and that is that Jesus stops. Check this out. Jesus stops right by the tree where Zacchaeus is up in the tree, okay? And Zacchaeus can't believe it. I mean, he's thinking to himself, what are the odds of this happening? That Jesus is going to stop right where I decided to climb this tree. And now it's great because now he can actually see even the physical features of Jesus. He can hear the voice of Jesus. He's right there. I mean, he's in the tree. Jesus is stopped right there. I mean, he's got a front row seat to the Messiah. He's got a front row seat to Jesus. Let me stop and ask a question to you this morning. Have you ever been in a place where a celebrity showed up? Have any of you ever been in, I won't make you tell, but has anybody ever been in a place where a celebrity showed up? I have. For me, it was back in 1990. I was in between my junior and senior year of college, and part of our college program is you had to become an intern. So my internship took me to a church up in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, the city of champions, took us up that way. And anyway, I went to a larger church. It was a mega church before there were mega churches. And their youth pastor just left a couple weeks previous to me getting there. So when I got there, they said, hey, Mike, your job this summer is you're going to oversee the youth ministry. And that was cool with me. So one of the things that youth group did every year is they went to Cedar Point. Has anybody ever heard of Cedar Point? It's an amusement park, just to let you know. It's located in the northern part of Ohio, Sandusky, Ohio. So the day arrived that we were going to go up to Cedar Point, so I loaded all the kids in one of the vans. I mean, it was just packed. We're driving down the Ohio Turnpike. By the way, just a side note of the story, one of the kids in the van said, Pastor Mike, there's a police behind us with his lights on. I was like, oh, this is going to be great when we get home. So sure enough, it wasn't for somebody else. It was for me. I pulled over. He gave me a ticket. The moral of the story is that everything I made that week, everything they paid me, had to pay off that ticket. So I went into the pastor's office begging mercy. He said, no, you need to learn a lesson, which I did. Don't ever speed. Does everybody hear me? Don't speed. Speed kills, okay? Well, anyway, we finally arrive at Cedar Point, and when we get there, there's this guy. This guy's about 6'9". He's an African-American guy, good-looking guy. He's got this radiant smile. It's all teeth. But the funny thing about it is he looked a little different than he did on TV because he had a hat on and he had grown a beard. And then I kept hearing people whispering, magic, magic. Let's show the picture, magic. He wasn't wearing his uniform that day, but Magic Johnson was at Cedar Point. Is anybody impressed? No one. There were a lot of people that day impressed because it was like this scene of Jesus in Jericho. I mean, people were lined up. Everybody was around the MVP. I mean, everybody wanted to get by Magic, get an autograph. He was with his family. He said, not today. So that was my celebrity story, okay? So let's move on. Anyway, that's what's happening here in Jericho. Jesus is walking through the city, a celebrity. Jesus is walking through town. Stops at the tree where Zacchaeus is, and he looks up and he makes eye contact with Zacchaeus. How do you think that made Zacchaeus feel? He makes eye contact with the Son of God. And not only that, Jesus says this, he calls him by name. He says, Zacchaeus, come down. I'm going to your house today. By the way, I don't know what I would have done if Magic Johnson would have looked at me through the crowd and said, hey, it's Mike Bechtel, you're here. Let's go over. I'm going to buy you lunch at one of these restaurants at Cedar Point. It wouldn't have been good, okay? But anyway, back to the story. We'll forget Magic the rest of the day, okay? By the way, how do you think Zacchaeus felt? Just put yourself in Zacchaeus' shoes. How do you think he felt? I think he's probably thinking thoughts like this. How did Jesus know my name? Do you think he thought that? He's thinking, how does he know me? How does he know me even by name? Because here's what's said, and I've read this several times in several different places, that the sweetest sound to somebody's ears is when they hear her or his own name. It's one thing to say, hey, buddy, how are you? But it's something totally different when somebody says, hey, Mark, how are you doing? By the way, we've had a couple college kids that have been in college for 2 years, and they have come to church 90% of the time. They've come and they sit over here. And every week when they walk in, I forget their names. And I say, hey, buddy, how you doing? And he knows what's happened. I've forgotten his name. And I've forgotten her name. So finally, one day I said to myself, if it kills me, I'm going to write their name on my hand. So when they walk in, I'm going to say, and I know their name, it's Aaron and it's Heidi. So every time they come in now, I say, hey, Aaron, how you doing? Or Heidi, how are you doing? And it's amazing when people hear their own name. Because it's funny because I'll see them over at campus. I'll see them at the Falcon Center a lot. And I'll say, hey, Aaron, how you doing? Or hi, Heidi. And they get all excited. The moral of the story, people love to hear their names. And I'm sure that day Zacchaeus hearing from Jesus, hey, Zacchaeus. I mean, think about it. God in the flesh. Calls this rejected, hardened, selfish man by name. He says, Zacchaeus, quick, come down. I'm heading over to your house right now. Zacchaeus, I'm going to come to where you live. I'm going to come to your turf. I'm going to come to your common ground. I'm going to come to where you kick off your shoes. I'm going to come to your house. How do you think Zacchaeus felt? Well, the story tells us that he climbed out of that tree quickly. I think he probably came out of a tree quicker than anyone's ever come out of a tree, okay? And the Bible says he came and he climbed out of that tree with great excitement and with great joy. And here's the deal. There were other people in the crowds that day. It was thick with people. And these people witnessed this with their own eyes. They know Zacchaeus. They hate Zacchaeus. They know Jesus. They love Jesus. They want to be by Jesus. But they don't want to be by this man, Zacchaeus. He has ripped us off. He has stolen our money. We don't want anything to do. And here these two guys are connecting. And the people in the crowd grow angry that he's going to be in the house of a sinner. He's going to be in the house of a scumbag. He's going to become a friend of a person that no one else likes. Jesus is befriending this criminal. Are you here? Are you getting it this morning? I want you to get this in your heart. Jesus is befriending someone that you and I would look at and say, we can't stand you. Okay? This would be a guy that works for the IRS. We don't like you. Sorry if we have an IRS person here this morning. I love you, okay? But here, what I want you to do is I want you to go back to your notes. If you have notes, please go back. And if you go to the back page, what I want you to do is you see verse 6 and 7 are together. Do you see that? And then there's verse 8. And I want you to see what I did here. I said, note, there is a period of time between verse 7 and 8. Because I used to read this story, and I'd read verse 6, I would read verse 7, and then just out of habit, I would go right to verse 8. And I would think that, wow, these things happen quickly, but we need to stop. So does everybody just say stop? Because something powerful is happening here, and you can't miss it. And that is that during between verse 7 and between verse 8, Jesus is sitting in the house of Zacchaeus. He's sitting and he's having a meal with Zacchaeus. He's sitting there having a conversation with Zacchaeus. And I want to let you know, I believe that afternoon that something unexpected, unexplainable begins to happen in Zacchaeus' life. See, we're not told how long he had an audience with Jesus. We're not told what they talked about. We can only speculate. We can only guess. We're not given all the details. But I want you to get this in your mind. Jesus is in the house of Zacchaeus. Come on, are you hearing me this morning? What would you think if Jesus said, I want to come to your house and we're going to hang out? And here's the thing, I would assume if we take all the other Bible stories where Jesus met with people, I would assume that Jesus was a very good listener. I assume that Jesus isn't saying, Zacchaeus, this is all the things you need to do, these are all the things you've done wrong, ABC, 1, 2, 3. I think Jesus is sitting there that day and he's just listening. And he's listening to Zacchaeus just talk and sharing some things. And Zacchaeus is seeing some of the most compassionate eyes looking in his eyes. I want you to get this morning. And I think Zacchaeus is probably thinking thoughts like this. Does he really know who I am? Does he really know that my name's Zacchaeus? And does he know how I've made the money to buy this house? Does he know how I've made the money to buy the food? Does he know that I rip people off? Does he really know who I am? And I think Zacchaeus is just freaking out. But here's the thing. At the same time, Zacchaeus is realizing that he knows. But here's the thing. He's not rejecting me. He's not rejecting me. Can I stop and just say this? Jesus knows everything about you. He knows everything about you. He knows everything about me. And here's the cool thing. He doesn't reject us. What a wonderful name. He welcomes us with open arms. And that's what I think begins to just soften and melt the heart of Zacchaeus. I mean, they're talking. He's listening. He's compassionate. He's kind. He's not rude. He's this loving Jesus. And he's pouring out love on this Zacchaeus. He's really listening. He's over at his house. And then we get to the next verse. After they have spent some time together, then we get to the verse. Are you hearing me this morning? And something has happened to the degree that Zacchaeus, we're told, stands to his feet. And Zacchaeus makes this big announcement. And here's the announcement that Zacchaeus makes to Jesus. And there are probably other guests in the room that day. Zacchaeus says, hey, I'm going to change everything. I'm going to change everything. And one of the things that I'm going to change is I'm going to start giving my money away. How many people know something's happened when people are starting to give their money away? Amen? Amen. When people start giving their money away, something's happened in their hearts. Something happens in their hearts. And he says, I'm going to give all my money away. In fact, he says in more detail, if I've cheated anyone, and he knows he's cheated people, what I'm going to do is I'm going to give them back 4 times the money I stole. Wow. Can you say wow this morning? So what's happening here? I mean, what has gone on in this conversation that makes him, not forced by Jesus, but what makes him on his own saying, I'm going to change everything about my life? What makes him say, you know, if I stole from people, I'm going to give them 4 times back what I stole? Well, scholars believe this. This is what scholars believe as you read and you study. They believe that as Jesus and Zacchaeus are spending time together, that something begins to happen deep within his heart. And many people believe that, according to verse 9, that Zacchaeus has what we would call today a salvation experience. meaning that he's repented of his sins and he's turned and placed his faith in this Jesus that's in the room with him. And that everything changes at that moment, that there's salvation that comes to his house. And here's the deal. The proof of salvation was his willingness on his own that he's going to go and make things right with those people that he's wronged. By the way, if you're in the purple book class, we studied that this week, and it's called what? Restitution, which is the final step proof of repentance, is you go and you make things right, not to earn your salvation. That's only by grace in Jesus Christ, faith, amen? But when God does something in your heart, I want you to think this morning. Let's not get caught up in another sermon. But please just hear my heart this morning. When God does something in your life, there's going to be change that takes place. Can you hear me this morning? There's going to be something that takes place. And that brings me back to the big idea. That brings me back to the thing that I want you to remember when you leave this service today. Regardless if you liked the sermon or you didn't like the sermon, please take this home with you today. And that is that a friendship with Jesus Christ is going to what? It's going to change everything. When you enter into this friendship with Jesus, which begins with salvation, it's going to change your priorities. It's going to change your values. It's going to change relationships, friendships. It's going to change your marriage. It's going to change how you look at people that annoy you. It's going to change. I want to let you know, it's going to change everything. Amen? It's even going to change how you value your resources, your time. It's going to just touch every area of your life. It's even going to touch how you look at the world. Your worldview is going to change when you have a relationship with Christ. It's even going to touch how you look at sports. I mean, come on, it's going to touch everything. I just want you to hear that this morning, that when you come into this grand relationship with Jesus, friendship with Jesus, it's going to be peppered in every area of your life. Every area of your life is going to be different. You're going to see things so differently when you come into this relationship with Jesus. And I want you to fill in the notes, and that is this. Not only is this true for Zacchaeus, it's true for me. It's true for you. It's true for all of us. Are you hearing me this morning? Are you hearing me this morning? I need to know, are you hearing me this morning? I need you to hear this, because when you have a relationship, a friendship with Jesus, it changes how you look at your boss. It changes how you look at your career. It changes how you look at your work. I mean, it's so impactful. It's so powerful. It's so encompassing of all areas of your life. When you enter into a relationship, friendship with Jesus, it's just amazing how our life changes. Amen? Amen. So here we go in closing. And everybody said, oh, thank God. He's starting to touch on areas where I don't want to be touched, okay? Woo! How can we become a friend with Jesus? Well, if we go back to the story, Zacchaeus became a friend with Jesus simply by responding to his invitation. The invitations, we see it clearly in verse 5. Jesus says, hey, Zacchaeus, I'm calling you by name. Quick, come down. I must be a guest in your house. He responds to the invitation. He almost falls out of the tree. He runs home with joy and excitement, takes Jesus to his house. He responds to the invitation. How about us? Do we have an invitation? Is Jesus extending an invitation to us? And everybody say, you betcha. Everybody together, you betcha. I want to show you a verse that just blew me away this week. It's almost like God let me find this, okay? Revelation 3:20. The context, Jesus talking to people in the church of Laodicea, but it rolls over. It's applicable to all of us. It says this, Jesus speaking says, look, and there's an exclamation point in the text, look. Jesus says, I stand at the door. And what does he do? Knocks. What's the door he's referring to? Your heart, your life. I stand at the door and knock. And I think this is so cool. If you hear my voice, and by the way, sometimes it's hard to hear the voice of Jesus because there's so much noise. There's so much activity going on in our life. There's so much. Is everybody hearing me? And Jesus says, I knock. I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and you open the door, check out this promise of Jesus. I will what? Come in. And check this out. It's just unbelievable. And we will share what? together as, everybody say, as what?
Friends.
Jesus is knocking at the door of your heart. And if you hear his voice and you open up and let him in, he's going to come and he wants to share a meal together with you as a friend. By the way, in Bible culture, a shared meal symbolized deep friendship. And when we come into deep friendship, what's going to happen? It's going to change every area of our lives. So here's the question I want to ask as we close. Have you ever opened your heart? Have you ever opened the door of your heart to Jesus? And said, Jesus, I hear you knocking. And I want to invite you to come in. I want to share a meal with you. I want to become friends with you. Have you ever invited Jesus into your life? And I know what some of you are thinking because you're like me. You're thinking, you better believe I have. I did that when I was in fifth grade. I did that when I was in college. But I want to say this. I don't believe this is a one-time thing. There's people in this room today that if you'll just allow the noise to be pushed aside, Jesus is knocking at the door of your heart right now. So I want you to just close your eyes this morning. I've been praying this week that the Holy Spirit would be at work in this service this morning. My prayer is that Jesus is knocking at the doors of people's hearts right now. And if you can hear, he wants you to open that door of your heart. He wants you to let him in. He wants to come and have a friendship with you. And he wants to have a friend that changes everything about your life, that takes life from the mundane, and it takes life to the excitement. So maybe you need to pray this prayer today. Lord, I come and I ask you, I hear you knocking at my heart. And I open my heart and I invite you in once again to my life. Come and be with me. Come and be my friend. Come and change every area of my life. It's in Jesus' name we pray. And everyone together said, amen.